You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Turn the Jets podcast. I'm your host, Will Parkinson, at WillPod11 on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Another episode here, talking a little Senior Bowl recap. We talked some of that on Saturday with Connor Rogers. No better other person to talk to than Antoine Staley, Daily News. Antoine, it was good to see you down in Mobile. As always, obviously, how's everything going? You back? I know you did a little New Orleans trip at the end of there, too. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. I mean, it's kind of a quiet time, especially we got the Super Bowl coming up and then the Combine in a couple of weeks. But, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that and definitely free agency. And also, yeah, the Senior Bowl recap, too, because as you were down there, too, we saw a lot of good, talented players that kind of stood out as well.
Yeah, I want to kind of start there, and then we can kind of finish up with a little free agency. But obviously, in reality, nothing's changing over the next 5 weeks. So, I guess, big picture, what were your kind of expectations kind of going in here with this class? And I guess who are two or three guys? I guess we could start pass catcher first and then we could kind of make our way through. Thought the tight ends in general personally were okay. A lot of drops.
Yeah.
Ben Sinata of Kansas State, I thought moved really well, but the tape wasn't great. So I don't really know what to make of him. Receiver wise, we've talked a lot about these guys. Brendan Rice had a nice week. Roman Wilson, Ladd McConkey, Ricky Purcell from Florida. There are some names, obviously, that stood out, Malachi Corley, et cetera. Who stood out for you from a pass catcher perspective? And did anyone, exceed or, fall short of expectations from that perspective?
Yeah, you kind of stole my thunder a little bit. But, yeah, definitely Roman Wilson. I definitely think, first and foremost, really stood out to me. I mean, I know he's a good player. I mean, obviously, I watch – a lot of college football and things of that nature too, but just kind of see him in person, like the route running and, the fact that he's not a very fast guy, but he always found a way to get open. And I thought that was just really key. And that's what you got to do in the league. I mean, you don't necessarily have to be the fastest guy, but if you can find ways to get open, especially considering his size and everything like that, I mean, he was just tremendous down there. So I definitely start with him. And yeah, Lamb Conkley, I definitely thought really stood out too as well.
If they had a second round pick, to me, he'd be a guy I would really be hyping up, because I feel like played some outside when they had Bowers inside.
Yes.
Georgia, we saw him line up outside and inside. And Mobile, obviously primarily a slot guy, but the tweet that was like, oh, his floor is Cooper Kupp. I don't know who put that out. That was a ridiculous tweet.
Okay.
But
before the ball,
okay, sure.
I'll take that.
Triple crown guy. But I will say there is a lot of really shifty, really good accelerator, good hands. Every route is run as much as a receiver coach, he stacks guys. He sets everything up. Everything's like a game. He knows where he wants to get to, and he always gets to his spot. Again, I'm not saying he's a guy who's not going to run really well, but is faster than you probably realize. Not because he's white, just in general, he literally just is faster than time, we'll say. But that'd be a guy that I if the Jets were picking it, I guess whatever it would be 42, I'd be oh, this is a guy they should target. I just don't think he'll be there when they're on the board again.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on – they could trade down, which
they
is obviously
back,
still this option, because, I definitely think they would like to get a second-round pick just from the people that I was speaking to down there. But it's just a matter of what Joe Douglas decides to do. And then who's on the board at 10 still, too, because obviously it's going to be fluid there as well. Obviously, Fuaga is a guy that a lot of people were pointing to, who also had and obviously not a pass catcher, but – had a good week down there, and somebody that the Jets do really like. And
what'd you think of Fuaga? Because I felt like, personally, this is an unfair standard, but we talked about this 2 or 3 years ago also. If you're a guy that's going to be a top 10 pick, I kind of want to see you just absolutely eviscerate people unfair or not, I just like, if you're one of the 10 best players going in the first round, like, I want to see you go to the Senior Bowl and like murder people. And I felt like he was good. I didn't feel like I was like blown away. I felt like he was a good player. Like, that's what I saw on tape. Really solid, good player. Like, tough dude. Feeder a little not great. Definitely a right-sided player. Like, did that kind of what you got from it? I didn't like walk away going like, they have to fucking take this guy at 10. Like, no.
No, I thought he was really good. I thought he was really good. And I thought he was really good at Oregon State, too.
What, yeah, he's a really good player. Like, that's what he is. He's a really good player.
Exactly. Like, I mean, I watch a lot of Pac-12 football, especially staying up late and things like that, too. So, but I would have liked to see him be, you know, line up on the left side at times, too, even though I know he's comfortable at right tackle. Hey,
like, Tyler Guyton did that, and I felt like he struggled at it, but at least I was like, okay, I want to see it.
Correct. That's what I was hoping to go down and see in Mobile, but obviously that didn't happen. So I was disappointed with that, you know. But, you know, the Jets in a situation where they could use both a right or a left tackle, depending on what they do with AVT. Personally, I would keep AVT at right guard, but, you know, that's neither here or there. But, yeah, they're going to need two starters on the offensive line either way. So to get a guy like that, that's just solid and consistent. I don't know how good Fuaga will be in the league, but I know he's probably going to be a 10-year starter. At least somewhere, whether it be with the Jets or whoever. That's how I feel about him.
Yeah, he was a guy that, like I said, like, really solid. There's not a lot of, like, my one concern with him, and I talked about this on Saturday's pod, the Jets have this fetish is the wrong word. It's not actually a fetish, but, like, they love these super strong brawler, like, slower feet guys, like upper body blockers. And they've done it with Carter Warren, they did it with Becton. Dwayne Brown, like, that's not their thing. It's not like these light, quick feet. AVT is more that guy, and everyone takes finesse in the wrong word. Being a finesse guy doesn't mean you want to rip somebody's face off and you're not tough. It just means the way you block is not like, I want a pancake every time. It's like, I don't know, dude, like, get this guy out of the way.
It's technique
and it's light feet and things like that. One guy that does have really light feet is Tyler Guyton. And
yes.
Again, he's at 10. That's rich for my blood. But in a trade back, as you mentioned, I know Connor Rogers mentioned this on the pod as well. Is he a guy that really impressed you? Because I felt like great feet, but that dude loves contact. Every single time he went in a rep, there was pads popping. It was kind of cool to see, especially in an All-Star game format.
It was loud. It was definitely loud contact. And then, like you said, he invited the contact there. So, yeah, I mean, the only worry I have with Guyton is just his inexperience. But, you know, I'm willing to look past that because I think he has a lot of potential. You know, he's very athletic, obviously very strong, big guy there. Definitely everything that you want. The measurables just stick out to you a lot. I'm sure Jets fans will probably compare him to Makai a little bit, although he's in a much better shape than I think Makai was coming out of Louisville. But yeah, I definitely think he has everything, all the intangibles to be really good. And I think he did a great job with a lot of the pass rushers that were down last week, too. So, yeah, if you trade down in the 20s and you still get a guy that can come in and produce, and yeah, he struggled at left tackle, but definitely played more right tackle at Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm all good with that, too. So I would definitely be on board with them taking him.
Yeah, he's a guy that in a trade down, I'd prefer over a Latham, prefer over a Mims, just because I feel like you're not concerned about the weight or some of these other issues. But, like, Latham has some nice reps. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand people like him. I don't know, man. Like, I'm not a big Latham guy. And Mims, like, the athleticism's there. I don't know. A little.
I like Mims a little bit more, but it's more too. Like a big question with him, too. Like,
Fontenot and Washington not playing sucked. That was one guy. I know Brandon Thorne's really high on him. I would have liked to see him perform. I would have liked to see him perform. Two guys we did get to see that stood out, and I know you tweeted a bunch about them. Christian Haynes and, more importantly, Jackson Powers Johnson. Haynes is more realistic from a Jets perspective just because, unless a trade down. Both those guys. Powers Johnson was so good. I know he got a little dinged up, but he was so good the first 2 days. Like, that dude did not have to continue.
Nah.
And then Haynes, like, UConn guy, good player, day three, maybe late day two pick. I don't know, man. I don't think I saw him lose a rep. Like, I genuinely don't think I saw one rep he lost. So what was your impression of those two guys?
Oh, yeah. I thought he was tremendous. I thought, just to be honest. Yeah, he is. He's huge because we got on the field after everything was over. And I'm like, damn. Yeah. I knew it was big, but I didn't realize he was that damn big. And yeah, I mean, if you're the Jets in that situation, definitely day two. And he's continued to rise. His stock has continued to rise. And I expect that to continue at the combine. And then he's going to solidify himself as a day two pick. And it's somebody that I think can really, you know, continue to maturate and become a really good player in the league, you know, to be honest with you. So, and then, like you said, the Jets, the last couple of years, the offensive line have been hitting really hard. I don't need to tell everybody that. So to get more and more players, especially good players, developmental players there, I definitely think that would be a bit key there. But Jackson Perez, honestly, I thought – I actually saw him at Oregon a little bit too, and, like, he actually started out at guard. Like, he was so versatile. Like, he was a guard, he was a center, and that's one thing I do like. So, I mean, he could play just about all the positions, especially inside. So, I definitely think he solidified himself as a late first-round pick, and some playoff team that needs offensive line help, yeah, it's definitely going to get a really good player.
Yeah, it's unfortunate they're not in that situation. I guess, theoretically, they could mortgage. Like, they just need a lot of different things, so... You know, I don't know that trading back up into the end of round one or they did 2 years ago. I know defense is not, people don't want to see them draft defensive guys. I get it. They're going to. Like, they need a defensive tackle.
That's what I try to tell people,
need a defensive tackle and a safety likely in this class. Whether it's signing somebody or drafting somebody, like, they're going to take somebody. I will say this about T'Vondre Sweat. He's a really good player. Like, I know there's some issues there. He did not weigh in. He probably is like 400 pounds. I have no idea, but he is gigantic. That said, like, the Jets are in this weird spot where, like, I'd love them to be in a spot where, like, he falls because he will get mad at the weight thing. But, like, I don't know. He falls to the third round because he's a two down player. And all of a sudden, like, early downs, it's him and Q. And you're like, oh, well, nobody's running on them. And, like, I don't know. There was not a lot to, do you have any takeaways from the defensive guys? I feel like it's just so hard because no one wants to talk about the defensive guys because of last year.
I do. I mean, I actually previewed some of them too. I thought Sweat was a guy that, you know, really could, you know, the Jets could potentially take, because we saw, you know, even though I think the run defense got better as the year going on, and you tweeted about this too, it was a little overrated. Like, people were saying it was a bad run defense. It wasn't necessarily bad, but they gave up a lot of explosive plays at times. Whether you talk about, I remember the Raiders game, Josh Jacobs ended up running for that big game, and, you know, that really hurt him. And obviously the Giants game with Saquon when Al Woods ended up going out. But either way, even if you bring Quentin Jefferson back, I definitely think you need somebody that can plug in the run there. And I think he's somebody that could definitely do that too. I thought Fisk, you know, from FSU had a really good week too as well.
He was awesome.
Yeah, I thought he was somebody that, yeah, I think he fit really good at what the Jets like to do, because, like, he can play a number of different positions on the defensive line there. So if it's somebody, you know, you're looking at two guys there defensively, they're going to take a defensive guy. Jet fans don't want to hear that, but they do have some holes there, and not as much as obviously the offensive side there, but as you alluded to, safety and DT, I think those two guys really stood out to me the most.
Yeah, no, I'm fully on the same page as you. I was impressed. I was impressed with him. I thought a couple of the Notre Dame guys, you know, stood out, you know, as well. Again, spots that linebacker and corner, where I know the Jets don't want to really talk about that, but again, those guys kind of stood out a little bit.
Mitchell, like the two.
Yeah,
like,
Mitchell was awesome.
Yeah.
There was definitely some guys that stood out for sure. I want to hit on the quarterbacks just quickly here. It's been a topic of conversation. Do the Jets draft Rodgers' replacement this year? What do they do? X, Y, and Z. I will say this, I guess, about the quarterbacks down there. I struggle with the guys after three, because there's moments. You look at Penix, you look at even a Bo Nix, you look at, I don't know, even Spencer Rattler at times. Like, the ball pops, or they look really good, or they make a play, and you're like, oh.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
But when the waters get muddied for Penix, he's not the same player.
Correct.
And again, that's fine, but he's a 24-year-old guy with injury concerns. You're kind of like drafting a different version. He's not Tua, but I'm just saying like a different version of like a guy where it feels like if it's not perfect, it kind of starts to unwind. Mm-hmm. I thought Knicks was so disappointing. For a guy that was like coming into the week, was like, oh, does he get top 10 buzz? And as a Jets fan, you're thinking, wow, like I hope he gets high, goes high because that frees up maybe a tackle or a pass catcher. I didn't see top 10 pick.
No.
Spencer Rattler, like as much as the ball does pop at times, threw a couple bad interceptions and team drills. And more importantly than that, like, not going to lie, the tape doesn't lie the last four plus years. And then the one guy I will highlight, I talked about this on Saturday, and then I'll let you go. Carter Bradley, Gus Bradley's son. Alabama kid, he's maybe a sixth or seventh round pick. So I'm just prefacing that. He's a guy, if the Jets have not taken a quarterback, and this is late day three, and they have those three back-to-back picks at the end of the draft, if he's like there, I saw enough from him, like that guy could at least be a backup in the NFL.
Yeah, that's all. Practice squad.
Yeah, practice squad, like quarterback three guy, like, I don't know, NFL pedigree, like maybe he's a guy that like, latches in and be a backup. What was your take on the quarterbacks? Because again, big storyline coming in. Don't think anyone was like Sam Hartman. Definitely didn't distinguish himself. I can tell you that much.
Hartman was terrible. Like I thought he was probably, and I was hoping. I didn't have high expectations, but you know he struggled with obviously turnovers, fumbles, stuff like that too as well.
He's got good hair though.
He does. Like, yeah, he definitely is looking for a second career, definitely model, possibly, like, hair commercial. But, Penix, like, and I wrote this, like, in my preview, if the pocket is clean, like, yeah, he can deliver, like, really good balls. But I think as we saw in the Michigan game, if the pocket is not clean, then he struggles at times. And I think that's kind of what happened that's led up to a few interceptions in the national championship there. You know, even, you know, out there in practices, not everything's going to be perfect. And in the NFL, definitely everything's not going to be perfect. So I definitely think, for me, I think somebody's going to take him in the first round. I don't know who that is. Maybe the Raiders or somebody like that. But, yeah, you're going to have a really good offensive line, especially considering he's lost a lot of like his athleticism, you know, due to the injuries that he had early in his career. And that was unfortunate because I thought in Indiana he was very, very athletic.
Yeah, but the COVID year, he was awesome.
Oh, yes, exactly. So that's unfortunate. But Bo Nix, he's an enigma. I had somebody, a scout, tell me he's kind of like a, you know, mobile version or more mobile Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, and, you know, I can kind of see that,
too. I can kind of see that, yeah. That's not crazy.
Yeah, I was like, somebody that you're always going to – he can start, but you're always going to be looking to replace him. Like, kind of like – sort of like Ryan Tannehill in a way. Like, Tannehill in his career, like, the Dolphins took him, and, you know, they were always – people were always talking about they're going to replace him, and same thing with Tennessee, too, as well. So, yeah, I mean, I like Nitz. I thought he had I think going to Oregon really benefited him well, leaving Auburn. But I still have a lot of questions there. And then you talk about Rattler. I mean, his Senior Bowl, it was definitely up and down, kind of like his career has been, whether it be in Oklahoma or South Carolina. If the Jets, you know, a lot of people talked about the Jets possibly taking him on day three. I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with that. But, you know, you got a lot of work to do with a guy like that because he definitely has a lot of intangibles and a lot of talent. But you do not want him stepping out there on the field in 2024. I will say that.
Yeah, he's small, man. Like, him and Hartman, like, really small. Bo Nix is pretty thick, but not, like, tall. The rest of these guys are just significantly bigger than them.
Penix is huge.
Penix is huge. Like, Carter Bradley was really big. Like, Michael Pratt out of Tulane, he was the one guy, like, I would say he was one of those guys that I felt like he just screams, like, replacement level backup, like guy that will just come in the league, be consistent. Like, I don't know, Nick Mullins is a bad example, but like just somebody that like will just always be on a roster, always kind of be there, had some nice moments.
Again, smart guy,
maybe an option for day three,
yeah,
you know, as well. obviously there was other drama around the Jets, you know, down in Mobile, and you know, this happens every year. There's always one or two stories that break down in Mobile. 2 years ago was the Brian Flores lawsuit. Last year was Sean Payton getting traded. There's always something, right? Everyone's the first time everyone's together again.
Yeah,
it's kind of tends to happen. Not necessarily like, I don't have to recap the entire article. I've done that already, but I guess just big picture, like, what do you make of the article and just kind of everything going on around the Jets at the moment? Obviously never a dull moment at One Jets Drive.
No, it is not. I mean, a lot of the article really didn't surprise me. It was stuff that I kind of already knew. It's a lot of, you know, it's a lot of smoke around some organization right now. And definitely, you know, you look at Robert Saleh, you look at Joe Douglas. I think a lot of things have been they're squarely on the hot seat. I mean, I think we already knew that. We thought last year, you know, they needed to win. And obviously Aaron got hurt and they got a mulligan for that. And, you know, just right or wrong, whether you think they do it or not. But this year is it, man. They have a lot of things, you know, a lot of smoke coming out of their organization there. It's a bit of a mess. It has been a mess. I mean, obviously the article really detailed, you know, in thorough, like how big of a mess it's been. But yeah, I mean, you got to win and it's no excuses anymore. Like, you got to be able to deliver. And, you know, that's basically the bottom line for me. Like, I mean, I know, like I said, I know how big of a mess they've been. Like, I don't want to get too deep into it, at least not, you know, publicly. But yeah, it is a lot going on there. But you got, it's a result-based business, man. Like, you got to be able to get the job done too. And it's been 4 years. This will be year four, and I don't know how many people would keep their job, especially with all the mess that's surrounding them. And they took a quarterback that turned out to be a bust at number two in 2021. So they're fortunate to still have a job, but, you know, again, you know, they're right. They're having all their hopes on Aaron, and, you know, we'll see if they can deliver. But yeah, it's a lot of pressure squarely on a lot of people in that organization. And then obviously, you know, to let go of Rex when they did it, you know, although the news came out during Senior Bowl, they told us it happened right after the season. But you can believe whatever you, that's what I tell people, can believe whatever they want to. But, you know, the story did come out like during the Senior Bowl. So it's, again, a lot of things that just squarely placed a lot of pressure on Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh to get it right this offseason.
I want to just run two things by you before we wrap here. Obviously, you know, combine coming up, you know, all these different things kind of going on. Looks like there's just, it's just a make or break offseason for them with between, you know, Rodgers and this roster and where it is and having this kind of 2 to 3 year window and Douglas and Saleh and all these different things. I guess my question is, how confident are, I guess, are you just from being around the team every single day that they can kind of go get the backup quarterback, go get the receiver, go get two offensive linemen? Like, is it wrong to, like, in some ways feel confident and also other ways be like, I have no idea if you're getting this right because the track record doesn't tell me otherwise? Like, is that a crazy take?
No, I mean, I kind of wrote about that earlier this week. I mean, the proof has been in the pudding. Like, how can I trust? I thought last year would be the year that they would try to get everything together. And then especially a year coming off where they had 11 different, in 2022, had 11 different starters on the offensive line. Last year was even worse when you end up having, you know, 13, 14 guys in 14 combinations in 17 games. So for me, yeah, I always thought, I think, I feel confident they're going to get it done because a lot of people's asses are on the line this year more than ever. But I don't, I'm not 100% sure they're going to get the job done. And I don't know how many people, like, especially look at the offensive line and, you know, the free agency, like what it looks like free agency wise, it's not great at tackles too. So you're going to have to, whether you got to draft a guy, but also, you know, address some of those needs in free agency and maybe even a trade too, depending on, you know, how you look at things. But I am, if I had to gauge it like on a percentage scale, it probably about 60%, which is not great, but just because of the past, like they've had multiple chances to try to get the job done and then it's not happened. So, but I do think they're going to make a concerted effort to do it simply because if they don't, then everybody's going to be possibly potentially out of here after 2024. So that's the only confidence that I can give anybody.
I wanted to, quick Super Bowl, obviously, Super Bowl Sunday. Who do you like? We'll finish with this. Who do you like? What do you think we're expecting Sunday at around 6 o'clock, other than Tony Romo orgasming himself over Jim Nance?
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know that's happening. I'm not picking against the Chiefs anymore. I thought I thought they would lose to either Buffalo or Baltimore. Obviously, that didn't happen. I think their defense has been tremendous. And it's a lot. Patrick Mahomes is not going to feel like he has to do too much like he has in the past. So, I mean, they have incredible defense. One of the generational quarterback, one of the best that's ever played the game. Like, I'm not going against that. I know the 49ers are favorites. I don't know how they're still favorites, but yeah, it's no way, no chance in hell I'm picking against the Chiefs again.
Yeah, I think this game comes down to like how they start. San Francisco can't afford to get down early again. They've gotten away with it the last couple years. I mean, like a couple weeks. They play really well from in front. Like they have all year. When they play from behind, they're not the same team. So I'm with you. I'm probably going to end up going Kansas City, but something about the San Francisco thing, like, it'd be cool to see them get it done.
It would be.
Kyle's got his million doubters, even though he's been to a bunch of Super Bowls and all these different things. I'm so sick and tired of hearing like the Brock Purdy stuff, whether you like him or not. I just think it'd be cool for not a first round quarterback to, you know, like whatever, a guy not, you know, end of the draft to go in there and win, just because I want to see how it makes the NFL scramble to try to be the next Niners. But again, obviously appreciate you hopping on.
Yeah.
We'll get this episode out. We'll get it done, the one in, but you know, around the combine time, we'll maybe do that one in person, you know, down in Indy, but appreciate you as always. Make sure everyone's following Antoine's work with the Daily News, Twitter, et cetera, et cetera. Appreciate you for listening. We'll be back on Saturday with TOJ Talks.